hymns. It's years since I've sung them. And also to James for his welcome. Do appreciate that. And pray that the Lord will bless you in the days to come, particularly in the mission, and we must remember you in our prayers. So it's good to be here again at Points Pass. I think this is the first time I've been back since Pastor Anderson has come, and it's good to renew fellowship with you. Let's just have a little word of prayer together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these great hymns of praise and worship. We thank you, Lord, for all that they remind us of and all the great things that they bring before us. We thank you for the cross tonight and for what was accomplished there. And we come to give glory indeed to your holy name. We pray, Father, that you'll bless our evening service. We come to thee, Lord, in our weakness. We come to thee, O God, knowing that without thee we can do nothing. And we come praying, O God, that by your Spirit, that you would be pleased, Lord, to presence thyself in our midst just now. We pray that the Spirit of God might take the Word of God and speak through it and bring the gospel clearly and plainly, even in this meeting tonight, Lord. We thank you for the gospel message and the power of the gospel. And we pray that, Father, that it might prove again this evening to be the power of God unto salvation. So we leave ourselves with thee. Help us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Now I want to read a few verses with you from the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. This is not a chapter that's often turned to, probably because there's much repetition in it. But it's a very important book, and it brings a very important truth before us. So we want to read some verses in Genesis chapter 5, and reading at verse 1, and we'll go on down to verse number 11. It says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And God and Adam lived 130 years, and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and he called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died." And it goes on like that right throughout the chapter, and we pray that God will add his blessing to the reading of his own holy truth. You know, as we look around us from day to day, it's interesting just when you consider all the opposites that there are in life. Let me mention a few of them for you. For example, there's day and there's night. And then there's light and there's darkness. You notice a little bit less light these evenings, and more darkness, so it's an opposite. And of course, there's rich and poor, and that's another opposite, and good and bad, and black and white, And of course, life and death is an opposite. In the great book of Ecclesiastes, you remember Solomon penned these words. He said, there's a time to be born and a time to die. And we find that in this passage that we read here together tonight, there are brought before us a number of men, beginning with Adam, who lived and died. This was something they all had in common. They lived for many years. But no matter how long they lived, my, they had to die. Death came and took them from the face of this earth. Some of them lived over 900 years. In fact, if you read on in the chapter, you'll find there was a man called Methuselah, and he nearly reached 1,000. He reached 969, but he died. And they, no matter how long they lived, they died. And so this chapter applies to each one of us, because we're all on the conveyor belt of life and death. And I want to think with you tonight about one of these opposites, life and death. That's what we want to talk about, life and death. I want to say a word first of all about life, and then I want to go on and talk about death, because that's what it's all about. Right from the very beginning, people have been born, and they've lived, and they've died. I want to talk first of all tonight, as we think of life, about the start of life. The start of life. It says here that Adam was created, and we need to remember that, because we're told all sorts of things today about evolution and all the rest of it. But Adam was created. God took of the dust of the ground, and he made Adam, and he made man, and made him in his own image. And all these others that we read about, they were born. Life begins for all of us at birth. Begins for all of us at birth. And so birth is very important. Some even say that life begins even at conception. And I would tend to go along with that, because David talked about being conceived in sin, and in sin did our mother conceive us. And all those that are mentioned in this chapter were all born in Adam. All born in Adam. And you know, friends, this is the generations of Adam. And remember this, that Adam sinned. God made him perfect, put him in a paradise of God, put him in a perfect environment. But Adam sinned. And you know, if Adam had never sinned, he would never have died. And you and I would never have died, but Adam sinned. Remember the fall that happened, that God told Adam, he put him in the garden, he gave him a helpmate, and he said, of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but of the trees of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat, and the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And you remember how that Satan came, the old serpent came and tempted Eve, the woman, and she took of the fruit and gave unto her husband, and he did eat. And Paul says, when he refers to this, that through one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, for that all have sinned. And that's a great truth tonight, that all have sinned. We have all sinned because we were born in Adam. We were born with a sinful nature. And of course, we don't have to learn how to sin. It comes naturally to us because it's in our nature. You don't have to teach the little one how to sin. And that's how life began for all of us, for each one of us. In this meeting tonight, we were born in Adam and we were born in sin. The start of life. That's how life started. That's how it began for each one of us. And then I want to go on and say a little word about the span of life. The span of life. As we read this chapter, all these people lived to different ages. Some of them lived longer than others. And you may ask me tonight, why did they live so long? And I would simply answer you and say, for the purpose of multiplication. Because God was multiplying the earth, and for the purpose of multiplication. But God has revealed to us the span of life, the span that he has given men to die. Some reach it, others don't. Some go after it. But when I come to Psalm number 90, it says this in verse 10, "The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and they fly away." So we see here, friends, the span of life. God has revealed to us, just as in the days of Adam, just as in his days, many today live to different ages, different age groups. They tell us that we're living longer, and that well may be so. But you know, the general rule is 80 years, and that brings us tonight from the start of life and the span of life to the shortness of life. The shortness of life. You see, we need to remember that 1,000 years is as one day in God's sight. 1,000 years is as one day in God's sight. God has a completely different concept of time than you and I have. And it just reminds us about the brevity of life, the brevity of life. And we read many scriptures in God's word that emphasizes to us the brevity of life and how short life really is. James, in his epistle, he says, "For what is your life? It is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You see, when you take into account that 1,000 years is as one day in God's sight, 70 years is just a little time. Just a little time. It says it's like a vapor. Get into the car on a cold morning, and the warm breath, the mist forms on the windscreen, but it's not long until it vanishes away. Job put it in another way. Job said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle," and he brought before us the idea of the man weaving upon the loom, and the shuttle going up and down the loom so quickly. And he says, you know, that's just like life. "My days are swifter," he says, "than a weaver's shuttle." And over again here in Psalm number 90, verse 9 reads, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Our years, you know, a tale or a story has a beginning, and then it has a middle bit, and then it has a conclusion, it has an end. I remember my grandfather, when I was a little lad in the home, used to gather on a Sunday night, and he went through the Second World War, and he used to tell stories, real stories, things that really happened. And you know, it had a beginning, and then it had a whole story, but then it had an ending. And that's just like life. Dear friend, it's like a tale. It has a beginning, and then eventually it has an ending. The hymn writer said, "Life at best is very brief, like the binding of a sheaf, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time." And those that are well on in age, they can look back on their youth, can look back on your childhood, and you can remember your school days, and you can remember growing up and getting a job for the first time, and then you fell in love with some young man or some young woman, and you're married and you had a family, and then the grandchildren came along, and here you are maybe tonight and away at the other end, and you look back this evening and 30 and 40 and 50 years and 60 years have gone by so quickly. Gone by so quickly. Life. The start of life. The span of life. The shortness of life. But you know, something else we see here in this passage is the sweetness of life. It says here in verse 2, male and female created he them and blessed them. He blessed them. You know, friends, life should be a blessing. Life is sweet. God has bestowed upon mankind many blessings. God is a good God. He has given to us many things which are good. It's man's rebellion against God that has spoiled life. You know, as we look back in life, there's many blessings, and it has been sweet. Children, families are all part of the blessing of life. Life is something that we need to thank God for giving us tonight. So there's the start of life, and the span of life, and the shortness of life, and the sweetness of life. But that brings me tonight to the seriousness of life. Because God has given us a life, maybe 70 years, maybe less, maybe more, but God has given us life to prepare for eternity. You see, at birth we were born in sin. And in sin we were enemies of God, and sin separates us from God. And because of our sinful nature, and the fact that we were born in sin, means that we need to be reconciled to God, because God is holy. And no sinner can ever enter into God's presence or ever enter into God's heaven. And you know, after life comes death, as we'll see in a moment. And after death comes the next life. Because there's an afterlife. Some people seem to think that when life is over, whether it's 70 or 80 years and then death comes, that's the end of it all. Well, that's not the end of it all, because after that comes the next life, which is the hereafter, and we prepare for the next life in this life by being born again. That's the seriousness of life. God has given us this life. We prepare for the next life in this life by being born again and preparing to meet our God. I'm sure that all of us hear from time to time about people who are seriously ill. And maybe they have a kidney problem or a heart problem. Or some other serious illness. And their illness becomes so serious that they need a transplant. Need a kidney transplant or a heart transplant. And you know, they're put on a waiting list. And they're waiting for someone to donate to them that organ that they need to keep them alive, to save them from death. And then one day, the news comes along, and a donor has been found. And someone who has agreed to donate maybe one of their kidneys, or some family who has had a tragic death has agreed to donate some of their loved one's vital organs to save someone. But the news comes in that a donor has been found, and the operation is performed, and that person has been saved by the one who donated that organ, whatever it was. And you know, friends, as we've said tonight, we are perishing in sin. perishing in sin. We were all born the same way, remember. We were born in Adam. We were born in sin. We're separated from God through sin. And we're perishing in our sin. And my, what we need is a Savior. We need a Savior. We need someone to come and save us, my, from eternal death. And bless God, a Savior was found. A Savior was found. Yes, away there in eternity, my God cried out in the great eternity of heaven, whom will I send and whom will go for us? And the eternal Son stepped forward and he said, send me. Sent me. And the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. A donor was found. A Savior was found. And God's Son came from heaven and lived on this earth and went to Calvary's cross. And on that cross, he shed his blood and paid the price for sin and died for me, the just for the unjust, and gave his life as a ransom. And my, he's so satisfied the demands of a holy God that sin was dealt with in all its totality, and God was satisfied. And the third day he rose again, the third day, and he lives tonight as a wonder-working Savior who's able to save and forgive all those that will come to him and put their trust in him. And dear friends, that's the good news of the gospel tonight, that a Savior was needed for you and for me. And there's a Savior available tonight. A Savior has been found who's able to save you, who's able to redeem you, who's able to make you his. The most important thing in life is getting right with God. So we see life in the chapter tonight. But in this chapter, we not only see life, but we see death. Death is written in bold words across the chapter. And this chapter that we have read here, it reminds us of the suddenness of death. Death is sure, if Jesus tarries, for all of us. And it's made clear in God's word that it's appointed unto man once to die. It's an appointment we must keep. Young men may die and old men must die. So there's an appointment with death and there's no getting out of it. We may cancel other appointments. We may do all sorts of things, but death we cannot escape. It's on our trail tonight. It's like a wild animal seeking its foe. My, there's the sureness of death, and of Jesus tarries. We're looking for the Savior to come again, but if he tarries another 50 years, then the most of us here will be gone. The sureness of death. And then, you know, friends, there's the sort of death. The sort of death. All these people in this chapter, this fifth chapter here, all these people died, and I'm sure that they died different deaths. And it's just the same today. My death comes in different ways, at different times. It can be sudden and quickly, or it can be slow. And people can linger on for months or even years, but death is sure. We do not know what sort of death we'll die or when we'll die. You remember that Isaac said when he was an old man, I know not the day of my death. But we know that it awaits us. And that brings me tonight to something else that's very important. Not only do we see here the sureness of death and the sort of death, But I want to take time to say a word about the soul of death. The soul of death. Because when we were born, going back again to the beginning, when we were born, when these people were born, God gave them a body, but God gave them a soul. He breathed in man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And when God made Adam, he made him from the dust of the ground, but God made Adam body, soul, and spirit. And of course, when death comes, the body is taken and put down into Mother Earth from whence it came. But when death comes, the soul moves out of the body into the great eternity. And the soul is the real person that lives inside this body. This is just a body you're looking at. It's nothing much to look at, but it's just a body. The body that God gave me to live in. But my soul will leave the body one day and go out into the great eternity. And arrives in either heaven or hell. You know, we find that Paul talked about the soul of the believer at death. In 2 Corinthians 5, he said this, if our earthly house of this body were dissolved, what he was just saying is if we die, our earthly house, that's what we live in, if our body were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And when a person who knows the Lord as their Savior and has repented and called upon him to save them, when death comes to that person, whoever it is, that soul moves out of the body and moves right into the presence of the Lord to be with him for all eternity. Paul says, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Yes, we are confident, he says. This is something we're confident about, that when a Christian comes to the end and death closes its cold, clammy hand upon it, it's absent from the body, present with the Lord, the soul of death. And then we find that the Lord Jesus, he talked about the soul of death, but he talked about the soul of a sinner at death. He told the story of a rich man and Lazarus. I referred to it this morning. And Lazarus was a beggar who sat at the rich man's table and fed from the crumbs, and the dogs came and licked the sores. And my dear friends, Lazarus died. But my, he was a believer, and the angels came and carried him into Abram's bosom. But he says the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he did lift up his eyes, being in torments. Dear friends, death comes. And my, we need to take this seriously tonight. We need to take this seriously, that if a person goes out into eternity without knowing Christ as their Savior, without being saved, without trusting in the Lord, and they die as they live in their sins, they'll die as the rich man lived without Christ. And dear friends, if we die in our sins, Jesus said, where I am, he cannot come. Lost in hell for all eternity. The soul of death. You know, when we think of our soul, we have learned that the eternality of the soul, it lasts forever. The Lord Jesus talked about the soul one day, and he says, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And that's the possibility of the soul. Jesus says, what use is there in making money and becoming rich and having a lavish lifestyle and all the rest of it? And what he's saying is, when the end of life comes and death comes, you'll have to leave it all behind you. And you'll lose your soul for all eternity. It's possible to lose that precious, never-dying soul. And of course, this tells us tonight about the destiny of the soul. Your soul and mine is a never-dying soul. We're going to spend eternities either in heaven or in hell. That brings me tonight to my last point about death. And that's the security of death. The security of death. You know, people today are looking for security. Security. Have you ever took much thought about eternal security? Eternal security. We know that life will end. It did for these men in this chapter. But it's great to be able to meet death knowing that it's well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Can you say that tonight? Is it well with your soul? Are you ready to go? Are you saved by God's grace? This is something that's relevant to everyone here tonight. Life. Thank God for the life that He has given me. Thank God for the opportunities to hear the gospel, for all the blessings. But remember life and death. Thank God tonight that a Savior has been found. And He's able to save us from eternal death. And take us home to heaven to be with Him and to be His for all eternity. May God speak to every heart, even in our service tonight. And may God move by His Holy Spirit and do a work that I or no one else here can do. May He, by His drawing power, bring you to Himself. Let's just bow for a little moment. Heavenly Father, we still our hearts. We thank You for Your presence with us, Lord, in this meeting tonight. We pray for each one gathered here. Lord, You see every heart. You see every individual. You know each one of us, Lord, who we are and what we are and where we are. And Father, we pray for those that would be here who are not saved tonight. God in heaven, have mercy upon them. God in heaven, bring the Savior before them. Help them to see the great love of God that's in Christ Jesus tonight, and that because of Calvary, that they can be saved and they can be ready this night for whatever takes place from this night on. These things we ask in Your holy name. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn at this time. It's 302, please. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will